This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Fine dining. The search for the most mediocre restaurant in America is a podcast where Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good. His most recent episode featured guests Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's food court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs they could fit in their mouths. Head on over to linktree.com/fine dining podcast and click Bees giveaway to enter for an all-expense-paid trip to your local Applebee's. The current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and up to three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. Asterisk $50 will be provided for transportation along with a $200 Applebee's gift card.
Welcome to a Funny Feeling Podcast. I'm Betsy Sodaro.
And I'm Marcy Jarrow. This is a podcast where comedians tell us their paranormal experiences, and we listen to yours as well.
Oh, yeah. And if you have one of these paranormal experiences that you want to share with us, please email it to us at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com.
Now get cozy.
And prepare yourself to be scared silly.
This is a Funny Feeling Podcast.
It is happening.
It is happening as we speak. Woo! Oh, drinking a fun LaCroix, one of those fun ones.
Cherry lime.
Hell yeah. Those taste very close to cherry lime 7-Up. Remember,
yes.
Remember that? I used to love that pink soda.
Or an ocean water from
Sonic. College, pop a bunch of vodka in there and just stroll around with like a 44 ounce of ocean water.
Oh, yeah.
With the little ice, the little ice.
Oh, crushed ice. Just the, like,
oh, in a foam cup. Oh. Dude, ocean water. I miss Sonic, man.
I know. The closest one is like very
close to Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yeah,
pretty far away. Gilly, I would drive. What do I care?
Gilly and I, we saw a commercial a couple of days ago for something at Sonic, and we're like, it had tater tots and jalapenos on it, and I was like, I think we gotta just drive there.
How awesome would it be to get like a bunch of people to drive down there and then have like a social distance hang?
Oh, that would be so fun at a Sonic.
Let's do it at a Sonic.
Yeah, I love Sonic. Shit. We gotta go to Sonic.
Get one of those long ass dogs.
Ooh, hell yeah. Get those sloppy tots, dude.
Slop tots.
Chili cheese tots. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
And then a big old ocean water. Oh. I might die. And that would be a great way to go.
Thank you.
Ate too much Sonic.
I've been trying to be sort of I'm eating pescatarian, but I did have Taco Bell that had some meat in one of the things. And boy, oh boy.
Gotcha.
Really got me.
It gotcha. Yeah, yeah, man. It'll get you sometimes.
It'll get you.
I love substituting out their meat at Taco Bell.
Like the black
beans are fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
The potatoes when they had them are fucking good.
That's
the
what
refried
I had.
The beans are good.
The black bean quesarita.
Yum, dude.
Yeah,
that's a
great
order.
It was really
the black
yummy.
Beans there are so fucking good. I guess I
like,
just love black beans
I
in
like
general,
black beans,
but like,
yeah.
A good substitute.
I ate my first Beyond burger yesterday because it was Super Bowl Sunday. We're recording this a little early, guys. Super Bowl Sunday, and I was like, I need something. So I ordered cauliflower buffalo wings.
Yum.
I guess they're just cauliflower crowns, not wings at all.
No, not at all.
Nope, just cauliflowers and then a Beyond Burger.
Yum. Where'd you order from?
A 33 Taps in Silver Lake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's one in Silver Lake. There's one in Hollywood, too.
Oh, you know what? Who knows, right?
Who knows, honestly? Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. So Beyond Burgers,
they rule.
What's great about them is they get the little crisp of them. Yeah. The char.
They're really good. I have some frozen in the freezer. I should cook them up.
Did it make me burp forever? For some reason, yes.
Oh, okay.
A lot of burps.
Maybe it was just the combo of everything. You know?
It was, I think, specifically because I only ate half the burger and then I ate the other half later.
Oh,
I was like,
okay.
Yeah, this is giving me some burps.
Some burps, dude.
You know, sometimes with those substitutions, you're like, who knows what this is made of?
Oh, absolutely. We're like, I don't know if my body's going to like this substitution, man. Like,
what the heck?
That's happened a couple of times with like soy and stuff where it's just like, oh, shit, man, this hurts my stomach.
I had a terrible allergic reaction after eating from a vegan restaurant.
Whoa.
And I, like, truly were. The next day I woke up, because I was like, something about it, like, I remember being like, this tastes weird. I don't know. Something tasted, like, off for me.
Right.
But it's vegan stuff, so I'm like,
so
well,
you're
it's
like,
not,
I don't know what it's supposed to taste like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The next day I woke up and I have, like, big high like welts on my torso and I was like, am I allergic
to my
like,
god,
I thought I was having an allergic reaction to like maybe a dryer sheet that was new or something,
right?
And then by the time I get to work, they've spread down to my ankles.
Oh my god.
And they were hot to the touch,
Marcy.
And I was like, I have to go to urgent care.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. I'd taken a Benadryl to see if that would help, and it didn't. So I had to go like get a shot at urgent care.
Holy shit.
And then I was like, I really don't like ordering from this place, guys.
Yeah, can we please stop?
But they didn't care at all.
What did you order on that specific day? Do you remember?
I wanna say it was like some kind of like Thai thing. Like it wasn't anything too nutty.
Too wild, yeah.
And then I had eaten there again, and then I was like, yep, I'm sick again.
Did you get the welts again? Or
I got just stomach sick then.
Oh, gosh.
I think it could be something as like minute as an oil that is used.
Exactly. Where you're like, I wouldn't have even ever known. Whoa. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But I was like, you guys really don't care that might have to go to the hospital?
Please. I have to keep going to urgent care. Can
and
we
they're like,
stop?
You can go to the commissary. And I was like, but that's gross. Anyway.
Whatever. Enough about food.
Yeah. Enough about fucking people who don't care about my dietary issues. Honestly, I think they liked it. They're like, uh-oh. They would like taunt me, like, we're going to
we're
the
going
place again.
For it. Like, oh man, well, I'll order it.
Writers' rooms are notoriously very sensitive and compassionate. Betsy, we have so many things.
So
I can't believe every time I look at our inbox, because you have never looked at it, right?
I refuse. I refuse to look at it. I have it. Is it packed? Packed
yes.
full?
We have a lot of stuff.
Good.
And I just want to say to anyone, if I've, I don't know, like not gotten your story or something, it could have been an accident. But also, if you send it to me again, I might get confused and it's already there. I don't know. There's no way to fix what I've done, which is being bad at this job. So I don't know. It's a real hit or miss, guys. Many apologies over and over.
I'm not even trying. So take it out on Marcy.
Take it all out on the only person giving any effort. But should we just jump into to listening to a story?
Yes, let's do it.
Listening to a story.
Listen to a story.
Hey, Marcy and Betsy, it's Zoe again. I'm a nurse, so I have some stories that are not my own, but I do have stories that I've heard of haunted rooms and hospitals and haunted hospitals. There's a lot of places I've been where monitoring systems will turn off and on by themselves. In the place I work now, there's one room that everybody thinks is very haunted because the lights turn on and off by themselves, the monitor turns on and off by themselves, and the toilet flushes by itself. So they try not to put patients in that room if they can avoid it. And the room is sort of far back in a corner, so nurses don't like to go down there anyway. But it's also become sort of a hazing ritual where, you know, jokes are played on other other nurses where, you know, the alarms will go off and the newer nurse will be the only one who can go in there, and they'll go in there and then everybody will jump out of the closet or whatever. But the guy who cleans there at night, Leonard, is this very mild-mannered man. All he does is listen to church sermons on his headphones. And he was cleaning outside that room one night, and he saw something. And he told some of the nurses about it very calmly. And he said, as, you know, a church man, he believes in sort of angels and demons and spirits and stuff like that. And it didn't strike him as anything dangerous. He just thought that people should know. And, you know, maybe he wondered. So he just sort of said to the charge nurse, hey, there's something hanging out around room 12. And she said, what do you mean? And he said, well, I, you know, I was cleaning and I saw a woman sort of start to walk by me, you know, around the corner. And I thought that she was, she had sort of a head wrap on and she was wrapped up in something. And I thought that she had gotten a blanket from the linen cart and wrapped herself up in a linen, you know, a warm blanket from the linen cart in the middle of the night, because it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. So I thought she had wrapped herself up in a warm blanket from the linen cart and was kind of lost on the way back to her room. So I looked up because she was walking slowly and said, hey, do you need help? Are you lost? And then she looked at me and kept going. And then I realized she didn't have any feet. And then she disappeared. So all the nurses freaked out. And then there was a family staying in that room, much, much later. And the mother who was in there requested to not stay another night in that room because there was something in there with her that she was uncomfortable with. And I think it happened again as well. One of the other employees is also uncomfortable, like helping or being in that room. Somewhere along the line, she's earned the name Sadie the Ghost. So anytime anything weird happens around that room, oh, Sadie. I have another friend who worked, I don't think she still works there, but she's a nurse out in California, and she worked in a respite facility, a pediatric respite facility, which is sort of a terminal hospice care, kids that are, how do I explain? Kids that have terminal illnesses, that either they mostly stay at home and are cared for by their family, and their family needs a break, so they come to this facility to be cared for a short period of time, or maybe their family needs a little extra help, so they come and are supported by the staff while the family also kind of takes care of them, or they come to the facility when it's expected that the child is, you know, going to die soon so that the family is supported by the staff there. So a lot of kids have died there in that facility. And my friend used to work nights, often by herself or with one other nursing assistant. Down the hall, there's sleeping accommodation in the patient rooms for families, but there's also down the hall, there's sort of little apartments, little suites for the families to stay in so that more than one family member can be sort of in the building in case anything happens in the middle of the night. And she said more than once what has happened is she'll be sitting calmly at the nursing desk in the middle of the night, nothing's happening. And all of a sudden, a family member will come running down the hallway into a patient's room and then come out and say, "What happened? What's happening? Why did you come get me?" And my friend would say, I didn't come get you. Nobody came and got you." And the parent will say, "No, somebody, a nurse came and got me and said, you need to go to your child right away." And Amanda will say, I'm the only one here. It wasn't me." So it really freaks the parents out when that happens. And I don't think it's ever been like around the time the child is dying or anything like that. I mean, it could have been, that would be extra creepy. So I should have just told the story that way. But yeah, these sort of phantom staff members going to wake up the families in the middle of the night. There's also lots of footsteps that happen in the middle of the night. And again, in the middle of the night, Amanda is like the only one in the whole building, just her and security. Security comes up a lot because they see people on camera that they don't recognize. And so they come up to check and there's nobody there. And Amanda hasn't seen anybody. So we see people on camera that aren't really there. And Amanda said her and nursing assistants often feel things, just sort of presences. It's hard to explain without really being there, but she said that oftentimes it's more like she's sitting at the desk, you know, she's leaned over the desk, kind of, you know, looking at her phone or reading a magazine or documenting on the chart. And you know that feeling where someone comes behind you and they're just going to reach around you for something or reach over you for a, you know, a pen or, you know, to shift something or put their hand on the back of your chair to say, "Hey, you know, what's going on?" Those kind of feelings happen. And they happen when she's alone, but then also they happen when she's with someone else. You know, if her and the nursing assistant are sitting next to each other, a lot of times at the same time, they will both turn towards each other, looking back as if to see, "Oh, who is it? You know, who's standing right behind us at the same time?" Which is creepy. And she said the first couple times it happened, she was really freaked out. The best part of all of it is that they were sort of required to report these instances to their manager, because if situations were making just the staff uncomfortable, the manager wanted to hear about it and she would sort of take note of it. But if situations were making the parents uncomfortable, like the parents running in the middle of the night and things like that, the manager would have a, I don't know if it was a shaman or a healer or a priest or what, but she would have somebody periodically come in and sage it out, you know, and like bless everything and cleanse everything and kind of start anew, because she, you know, she didn't really want families and everything to be uncomfortable there. She didn't want any uncomfortable spirits, but she just kind of had them on call, which I think kind of every hospital should have.
Oh, okay.
Come on. Hey, man. Like, the thing waking up the parents.
That's...
Come on.
Well, I like my thought of it when she said that about like a phantom nurse is like, if you think about places like that, one, yeah, a lot of emotional energy is there.
True.
And two, a lot of repetitive actions.
Oh.
Like, you know, I feel like nurses do the same things.
Yeah.
You know, they deal with the same sorts of issues. And yeah, so that's what I thought it was, more of a sort of a memory.
More of a
something.
Just kind of like a loop of, or yes. Okay. That's nicer than I thought.
I
of.
Mean, I for was that like, parent,
fucking
though.
Ghost just be like, "Hey, go check on your kid." It's like, jeez, now is not the time.
There's, I can't imagine anything being like more awful, oh, to go through too.
I can't either. Yeah. So yeah, it's a place that is just, you know, ripe with all sorts of emotions, yes, and stuff that it's gotta oof.
Ooh. If. And then what's his name? Leonard?
Leonard.
Who was like, okay, someone's here. They don't have feet. But yeah. I think they're
cold. They wrapped themselves up in a blanket that they took from a cart.
Look, here we'll prosecute later.
Yeah. Ew.
Leonard listening to, what was it?
Church stuff.
That's scary too.
That's so scary.
But maybe like chicken or the egg there. Like, did he start listening because of the ghost?
Or through his listening, did that cause the ghost to come about? Huh? Yeah.
They're like, what is that?
Yeah,
what are they talking about? Oh. No, I've been there. I can tell you. I can tell you it's not.
Yeah, they're wrong.
No, I've met everyone. I can tell you exactly what they're like.
I'll tell you. Everything was interpreted completely incorrectly. So, yes.
It's honestly going to be hard to describe. Okay. So, you know when.
Whoa.
What if I pranked you, Betsy, by making you go into a room that was haunted and then all of your friends shout out, surprise, you idiot.
I'd beat the shit out of you, Marcy.
I'd box your fucking face.
Yeah. I'd fucking pummel you, man.
Get ready for some punches.
Hell yeah. I've been playing a lot of Wii or Switch boxing, so you better look out.
Oh my god. If I had to fight someone now, I would go to swing and then just fall down because of my lack of balance from just being sedentary for a year.
Oh, whoa, man. I mean, you should get the Switch boxing. It's fun.
Okay.
And I feel like I could kick some ass, even though I guarantee, like, what I look like in my head is way cooler than in real life. Like,
I'd love to watch you fight. Okay. That should be a charity thing where Betsy has to
Fight people?
Who would you fight? Who would you want to be matched against?
Gabrus.
I knew you were going to say Gabrus, and I'm...
You did.
I would hate to watch him beat you up. But it would also be fun.
He'd win.
He'd beat you up real good.
He would just pick me up immediately and throw me out a window.
Why did he kill her?
I'd be fine, but he would throw me through a window for sure.
He would definitely break a folding chair over my head.
Oh, absolutely. That would have to. I'd be weirded out if he did it.
I was the only girl in my improv group in college. Surprise, right? And the guys would like to do like improvised wrestling, or not even improvised, like they'd do it as almost a sketch, a wrestling match.
Right.
And they would like crawl up ladders and throw themselves onto tables that way they wouldn't lock it all the way, so the table would collapse in the middle, or like hit each other with like cookie sheets and stuff.
That's pretty fun.
I mean, you guys, this is not what I enjoy.
I'm not doing a
rap battle, and I'm not doing a wrestling match.
Those are two pretty good, like, hey, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to rap battle.
I wouldn't do it. I would be like, I'll do the interrogation game.
Oh, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where you have to like solve what the audience said or whatever, right?
Yes, I loved it.
Oh, because one couldn't talk, like one detective couldn't talk, right? Or how did that play?
Oh, boy.
I mean, this isn't an improv cast. This is a ghosty cast.
But I think the way it was like each cop, instead of like good cop, bad cop, they had like different, very specific things about them too.
Right.
Something
like
that. And then the audience, like we had to go out of the room. The audience knew what the crime was.
Yes. Okay.
Improv.
Very scary.
Also, don't hospitals have chaplains?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if every single one does, but I thought so. I don't know, though. Probably depends on what the, because, you know, a lot of hospitals are like Saint whatever, you know. So I think those might have permanent, like a church and a chaplain in it.
Yeah.
But I feel some are probably like, we're non-denominational, you know, like we're.
Well, I assume they're all non-denomination because, like.
Even like a Saint, Joseph's or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I'm maybe just thinking like Nurse Jackie, where they have like the chapel and like.
And that could be like all hospitals might have like. A chapel.
Guys,
and a chaplain.
We
I don't know.
Don't know.
The times I've been to a hospital, I haven't really been with it. So, and I have not been asking to go to church.
Well, I think it's for the family members who are there.
Right.
Betsy does not visit people in the hospital.
Ew, no, nasty.
Why would I?
I would never. Ew,
I'm not doing
sick.
That.
Do that.
Shall I read you a listener
yes,
story?
Please.
Okay. Also, I want to say thank you, Zoe. I love haunted hospital stories.
I do too.
Feels ripe for the picking.
It feels, yes. Anytime I've shot
freeze?
In a did I?
Yeah. What'd you say? Oh, dang.
Did I freeze again?
A little bit.
Oh, shoot. My internet connection is unstable, it says.
Oh, no.
Zencaster's going good, though, so okay. I think my track is maybe being fine.
Maybe.
We'll see. Hospitals are so scary. Anytime I've had to shoot or work in one, they're so spooky.
Too spooky.
With every right. Like, a lot of shit goes down in hospitals. A lot of emotions, a lot of deaths, everything and anything.
Also, a lot of electricity.
A ton of electricity.
You just feel like it's a conduit for
big time.
Creepies.
Big time. Okay.
Oh, okay. This one is entitled My Very Haunted Childhood, Adolescence, and College Years.
Whoa. Okay. That's your whole life.
Yeah, it sounds maybe it just stopped right after college, though.
True.
Hi, Betsy and Marcy. I'm a huge fan of the podcast, and I look forward to listening every week.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Awesome.
I love a podcast that can make me spooked and also giggle a ton. I wanted to share with you my stories about growing up in a haunted neighborhood / house.
Whoa, a whole neighborhood.
Oh,
that's
great.
Cool.
That's great, right?
That's very good. That's
yes.
very
yes,
good.
Yas, haunt my neighborhood. Yas.
Haunted neighborhood. Yas, quan.
Yas, quan. Yas, haunt.
Yes, haunting.
Yes, haunting. When I was young, my family lived in a pretty big house in a gated community set on a golf course.
Spooky and fancy.
Money is scary. The gated community was relatively new when my family moved in. I was told we were one of about a half a dozen houses that were initially built. The town I grew up in, sleepy suburb on the far south side of Chicago, was founded in the 1800s. And the suburban legends passed down told that Civil War POWs, that's prisoner of war, were held in the old farmhouse and schoolhouse at the center of the town, and that the land around it was creepy. Guess where the gated community was very close to?
Uh-oh.
Betsy, guess.
There.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume. The neighborhood was gated all around and encompassed miles. Tons of hills, trees, open prairies, walking path, and a small forested areas. The only thing eerie about the neighborhood on its face was that in the immediate south of the boundary of the neighborhood, there was a wooded area and a government satellite manufacturing company that would later be abandoned, which we used to party in during our later teens with
Ooh.
Some very peculiar instances.
Oh, that's fucking cool. What a cool place to party at, man.
That is so spooky. That's
it's
scary.
So, it's like a level on that fucking GoldenEye 007. Like, That
absolutely
sounds
absolutely awesome. Whatever you're talking about. Whatever.
The video game, Marcy, the N64 video game, GoldenEye.
I think I never think about what a gamer you are.
I do play a lot of video games.
I should.
It's fun, Marcy.
It's just something else I won't do.
Oh, that's fair enough. That's fair.
Sorry,
enough.
I have TikToks to watch. I simply cannot.
There you go.
Our house was built in 1989. Sorry,
oh, I was
big
like,
difference.
That's old as shit.
Very big difference.
Huge difference.
Big 100-year difference. 1989, and we stayed there until 2004. It was pretty gaudy now that I'm thinking back.
Yes.
6 bathrooms, a sunroom, furnace room, finished basement, and a huge family room with 2-story windows.
Fuck so, yeah, dude.
You're sick. That's
6
it.
Bathrooms. Nice.
It's a lot of bathrooms.
That's a lot of bathrooms.
Go shit wherever you want.
Hell yeah.
So many weird things happened over the years in this house / neighborhood that it can only make sense if I tell you in chronological order.
Hell yes.
Perfect for me. When I was a baby, I was born almost 3 months premature. I was baptized as soon as I exited my mom for fear of me not having any lungs due to how early I was and dying
Whoa.
Instantly.
Oh, wow. Having no lungs, of course.
Yeah.
Forget that, like,
3 months premature
gotta,
is a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's what, 9 months in? Whoa, 6 months.
Almost 10 months in the womb, though, technically.
What?
Yeah, it's a little closer. It's a little more than 9 months.
Oh. Shit.
Are you upset with me?
Yeah. Why is there that movie called 9 Months? Marcy.
I don't know Hugh Grant. I don't know what his deal is. Okay. Okay. That's scary. Okay. At Whoa. Birth, I had 2 holes in my heart, among many other issues, both of which were incurable. My mom tells me that when I was at my most sick as a baby, my Nana got in contact with a convent in Canada and asked for their help. Ooh. They prayed for me daily, and within the next week, my heart healed of its own accord.
What?
From then on, I believed I had what the Irish called thinness to me. Oh. I've always had a strong intuition, and paranormal things happened to me more than most. Some early signs of this I can't remember. My mom has told me that as a child, I would carry around a blue toy phone and have full conversations with a person I'd refer to as Leon. This normally wouldn't be so spooky. And for a while, it was just cute. It was a cute anecdote about how chatty I was as a toddler. This changed, however, when my little sister was old enough to start talking. My family was outside doing yard work on our ostentatious backyard Ooh. When we all noticed my little sister laughing up a storm while she was on our swing set. My dad had me check to see who she was talking to, and I walked to the swings, and I just hear her, and it's just her sitting on a swing, head looking next to her, laughing and having a conversation. I went back and told my family she was just being goofy. Nobody else was there. When she walked back towards the house, my mom said, "Somebody must have been cracking you up." And my little sister replied, "Leon has really funny jokes."
Whoa!
Outside of Leon, some other eerie things that happened to me in that house that I cannot remember myself. When I was roughly 8 to 9 years, my dad would frequently find me sleepwalking.
Oh, yeah.
At first, I'd just walk around the house, but it progressed to where I would walk out the front door and walk towards the undeveloped woods south of our house. That's
oh, my God.
So scary.
Ew.
My dad had to put extra locks on the front door to keep me inside. The most creepy thing I don't remember doing as a kid, my older sister told me. During the time I was sleepwalking, my older sister came downstairs to find me with my forehead and hands pressed against the huge 2-story windows in the family room. Ugh. I startled her and she asked me what I was doing. She told me I turned around very slowly, looked right at her and whispered, "I have to protect the family from them."
Ew.
Ah!
No.
To my family's knowledge, this is the only time I spoke during a sleepwalking episode. Well, jeez, thank Louise, God.
You made it count, dude.
Shit like that. Fuck. Okay.
Fuck, man.
The sleepwalking into the woods is so...
That is so gosh darn fucking scary, man.
Yeah.
Shit.
I know I've told it here before that once I was staying at a friend's dad's like hunting camp, which was just like a trailer somewhere in the middle of the woods. And I don't remember sleepwalking ever as a child, but right. I guess that's part of it. And I was like, just like, I was walking down the road.
That is so scary.
I wasn't that far, but
still, you made it out of the trailer and down the road.
And I just remember
that's scary.
The moon being very blue and bright that night.
Whoa.
And me being like, oh shit, I'm gonna get in trouble.
yeah, right. Oh my God, that's so scary.
I don't Oof. Think I'm once my brother's girlfriend said I tried to poop at the corner of her bed, but I think she was lying.
What a funny thing to lie about.
Well, maybe I didn't. I just don't remember.
I think you totally tried to poop at the edge of the bed.
It just seems like such a weird thing to do all of a sudden.
I mean, Marcy, you're a weirdo.
I am. My family's pretty skeptical, so my sleepwalking and weirdness were just thought of as me being extra. And truthfully, I was a very weird kid. I don't remember anything from the sleepwalking incidents, but this was also around the time when I start to remember paranormal things happening to me.
Oh.
This may have a connection to the fact that my Nana died in our home during this time, directly under my bedroom.
Oh.
A week after her death, I awoke from a weird dream. It wasn't scary. It was just weird, like a Tim and Eric skit.
Yes. Perfectly described.
I bolted up in bed, and in the doorway of my bathroom, a white mist was floating. It looked like it was wearing a dress, and in hindsight tells me it was benevolent, but my scared self started screaming for my dad.
Aww.
He rushed to the room, and I pointed to the mist, but in my limited knowledge of the paranormal, I'm calling it an alien. I'm exclaiming, "It's right there. Can't you see the alien?"
Oh.
My dad couldn't see anything. My first memory of supernatural effects on objects took place a short time after.
Whoa!
This is a lot of stuff going on in this fucking house.
Whoa!
As a kid, I had to wear an arm brace a few hours a day, and I'd climb to my Nana's bed and lay with her while I wore my brace. My mom would be livid if I lost the brace, so I always kept tabs on it. One particular day, I couldn't find it anywhere. I looked in my room, the TV room, the basement. I started to get really sad and cry and said a prayer to St. Anthony to find
oh,
items
yeah.
you've lost.
Tony,
look around. There's something that can't be found. I don't know if that's the original.
I think it is. Tony, look around.
There's something here that can't be found.
It's pizza.
Hey, when the moon hits your eyes.
I like a big pizza pie.
I found your homework.
Thank you, Tony.
Hey. this particular prayer my Nana taught to me. I continued to look all over the house for my brace, but I decided to try looking again in the basement. To my extreme shock, my brace was sitting on the windowsill of the basement, the exact area I had said the prayer moments earlier.
What?
I feel my Nana made her presence known through the years. Things you'd lose were found miraculously. Things that were seconds from falling off the counter and causing a huge mess would fly back on the counter safely.
Oh, I got chills.
And every time I'd play her piano in the basement, I could see her standing on the stairs watching. Whoa.
Holy shit, dude. Yeah, I'm covered in goosebumps. What?
A lot more. Okay. My Nana probably helped in more ways than I know, considering my dumbass decided to get a spirit board and use it all the damn time in my preteen years.
Uh-oh.
I had to keep the spirit board secret from my dad. He warned my sisters and I never to use one. Told us he had to get a priest once to clean up a mess he made delving into the spirit world. But I was young and dumb. I want to hear that story, Daddy.
I do. Shit.
First time I used the spirit board, it was probably around 12. It was close to Halloween. I set up the board, a candle, and a small mirror on a small table on our patio. I can't remember too much of the conversation I had with the spirit I got. I just remember asking its name, the candle extinguished and the glass shattered with such force I had to shield my eyes.
What?
This started a new presence in the house.
Ooh, yeah, I did.
Whoopsie.
Holy shit.
I'd hear people arguing on a few nights. The house would creak like somebody was walking around downstairs. My sister would see a young girl bound up our stairs at night in the attic. We'd see a young girl bound up the stairs at night or the attic light on when she'd come in from sneaking out like a cool older teen.
Bounding. Ew.
And my golden retriever would growl and bark at nothing constantly. You think that's cute?
A little bit. But if Wilma starts doing that, I'm going to lose my mind.
Oh, man.
If Wilma starts barking at nothing and getting scared, I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
What if you just woke up to her growling?
Oh. Well, it would be very confusing because I'm like, you don't sleep in my room.
Well, what if you heard her like outside, like,
ooh, I don't know. I would grab my baseball bat and go out and see
just
what's
smash
up.
Her. Smash her.
Start smashing the TV and the furniture.
Don't you ever make noise. I'll ruin everything I like.
Yeah.
The most terrifying thing happened one night as I was about to go to bed. I had just taken a bath and came into my room. My boombox was playing some weird old-timey music. It was like a weird doo-wop or barbershop quartet song. Ew. I hadn't left my boombox on before my bath, but I figured my sister was pranking me. As I approached the boombox, it immediately changed to two arguing voices. They were so clear, but I couldn't comprehend what they were saying.
Oh.
It was like the language they use in The Sims. Oh.
Oh.
I got
what is
some,
that? Like,
Sims. I got so scared, I unplugged the boombox, but to my extreme horror, the voices
kept
coming.
Going.
I turned the volume knob in a desperate attempt to stop them, and to my relief, they gradually faded out. I threw the boombox away the next day.
Yeah.
It got so bad that I had to sleep in my parents' room every night.
Oh,
one
shit.
Night, I was staring out my parents' window trying to sleep when a head appears from the top of the window, like someone is on the roof staring into the room.
No.
I wake my mom, but it's gone before she can see it. Shortly after, I have my 13th birthday. Birthday.
I had my birthday. Tony.
Tony.
Something that can't be found. Tony.
At this point, my dad knows about my spirit board and has burned it, and also thinks I'm too young to camp out. In their bedroom to sleep. Too young?
Too old.
He tells me we have to do something special to get rid of the bad stuff going on. That night, we drive to Bachelor's Grove Cemetery.
Ooh, Bachelor's Grove.
Hot.
All the people on The Bachelor.
Stupid dresses. Bringing like dumb presents.
Their gowns.
Yes.
All those gowns.
Oh, my gowns.
Gowns.
So that night we drove to Bachelor's Grove Cemetery, roughly 20 minutes from our home and one of the most haunted places in the U.S., supposedly. It was around 11, and my dad says we have to drive in the forest to give our hitchhiker, the bad spirit, a place that's more hospitable to his kind. And as we drive out to the wooded area, around 11:40 p.m., my brand new Nokia cell phone that I had gotten the day for my birthday starts ringing. I haven't given my number to anyone yet. The ID says unknown.
Oh, no.
I pick up the phone and I hear a loud screeching static. I'm a little shook up, but I figure it's just new tech, so weird stuff happens. When we arrive home, we have a message on the machine. We press play and we hear an automated voice say, today at 11:40 p.m. And my dad and I look at each other, shocked. The message is filled with heavy static, but then a man's low voice quickly says, goodbye. My dad deletes the message saying, we're done with this ordeal now.
Goodbye. Bye-bye. That's fucking creepy.
Goodbye. For the next 2 years, nothing really happened too crazy besides my parents getting a divorce. On my last Christmas in the house, I was hanging out with my older half-brother. He was about 15 years older than me, so he was around for when the house was being built. I told him how weird I thought the house was and some of the spooky stuff that had happened. He looked at me dead serious and says, oh, wow, you probably were way too young to remember. Two people died while building the house. I've always hated staying here. The energy is bad around here and this whole neighborhood. Needless to say, I was spooked at this revelation. We ended up moving out the following May, but my last night in the room, I woke up around 3 a.m. Floating above me was the white mist again. And this time I just embraced the feeling of saying goodbye to the spirit in the house. From then on, I'd only visit the old house when I'd hang out with my two very close friends who were my neighbors. Still got a little ways to go, Bets. Just swallowing my own spit here. I don't know why I get so spitty when I'm reading.
I think you got to keep your mouth wet to enunciate.
Yeah.
And sound real nice.
Real nice. Our neighborhood was spooky, especially around the spooky season. Back in the day, all the parents from the neighborhood would go to a costume party for Halloween.
Fun.
And all the kids would have a devil's night.
Oh.
We'd play pranks and silly string each other while our parents got wasted.
Hell yeah. This neighborhood sounds fun, man.
This was the most fun night of the year. My older sister and her friends and me and my friends from the neighborhood would watch scary movies and tell ghost stories. The last Devil's Night, I tagged along with my older sister and her friends as they walked across the empty golf course at night to visit their other friends in the neighborhood. On our way there, my sister's friend Jenna swore she could hear a man whispering. So we all got spooked and ran into our friend's home. When we arrived, my friend Zach and his older sister were in tears. They immediately screamed at us for pulling such a scary prank. We had no idea what they were talking about. They said somebody had come into their home and banged on all the cabinets, and they heard a dark growling sound from the kitchen where they while they were in the TV attic room.
Oh.
We tried to tell them it wasn't us, and that's when we saw the cabinets move on their own. We ran to the party house and demanded our respective parents take us all home.
Oh my God.
That was the last costume party our parents had.
Oh.
You ruined everything.
You ruined it all. Shit.
Years later, my friend Katie and I used to go exploring in the forest and would do seances during October. Man, you are just not learning.
You're going for it, man.
doesn't care.
You're releasing entities and just
being like, I don't know.
Going.
Just, begging for spirits to come take over my soul.
That's it.
That's all. One stormy October night in my senior year of high school, we did a seance using playing cards in Katie's basement, asking the spirit questions, and the cards would tell us the answers. Oh. Right off the bat, the cards were coming up in strange patterns, despite being shuffled by everyone in the 6-person group. We found out that the spirit had died in the area, was a young man, and was there with us because the veil was thinner during this time of year.
Ugh.
When I asked if he could tell us his name, the thunder roared and the power went out at Katie's house.
Oh.
We all jumped from the table and went to our separate homes.
Yep.
The following weekend, I was with my buddy Blake and Kevin from my old neighborhood. And as we did at the time, we'd drive around the gated community and smoke some joints.
Yeah. Hell yes.
Let's just go cruising.
Hell yes.
Kevin tells me that my old house is up for sale and that we should try to smoke in the backyard for old time's sake. This seems like a good idea, despite it being 2 a.m. I also never told Kevin or Blake the weird stuff I'd personally experienced near my backyard. The storm drain in the middle of the grass about 100 yards from our swing set was where I heard a man exclaim, "Help!" multiple times.
White
stag deer that would walk around between our houses before dawn.
What? I just read a book that has that.
A white stag?
It's a spooky book. Yeah.
Like a Wendigo?
I know. Shit, man.
Ugh.
Oh, God. Okay, sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, the pure white stag that will walk around a house between our house before dawn. The eerie old-timey truck that I saw from my old room at times parked in the middle of the fairway at night, headlights shining into my room. This is disgusting.
This is horrific.
So this is all the stuff you didn't tell your friends, okay? I didn't even think about the seance the week before, less than an acre away. As soon as we sat down on the lower back patio, I looked inside the dark house I used to live in. I got the scariest sense that we were being watched.
Oh,
I've never felt my body tighten like this before.
And we sat on the...
Yeah, fucking. We sat on the bricks of the patio, trees and shrubs closing in on us all sides. We're passing the joint. We're passing the joint, and Blake and Kevin are being loud, so I tell them to quiet down. Just then, a bush near us starts to shake. It's a windless fall evening, but the bush is shaking like crazy. We think it's a cop. We're dumb stoners. So
it's
we stomp.
Gotta be a cop shaking that bush, man.
Cop's been hiding in the bush.
Just waiting and hoping we'd come and smoke pot out here.
Looking for a mild crime. So we stomp out the joint and remain still. Soon, all the bushes around us are shaking, and what I can only describe as the most guttural growl I've ever heard starts coming from the first bush that was shaking. We book it and head back to Kevin's across the street, yelling, "What was that?" Sorry about how long my email was, and can you believe I have more seance, UFO, and overall paranormal stories to share?
Yes, I can. I can.
If you like this one, let me know. I have a really awesome story about an enchanted forest I went on a hike through this summer.
What?
Or stories from my haunted fraternity house.
What?
Promise I'll make it less long. Thanks so much. You both have gotten me through quarantine, and I truly love being part of your audience. Don't shit your pants, Brian.
Brian, tell us everything about Enchanted Forest, Haunted Fraternity, everything.
Yes.
Whoa. That's wild.
Yes.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
There's so many things I don't even know where to start, Betsy.
Yeah, that. Oh, man. The growling bushes. Ew.
The whispers, the sleepwalking is also very scary to me.
Sleepwalking is too scary, man. It's so scary. And yeah, just Brian, keep going back for it, huh?
Just like, being like, I wonder why Brian's so haunted. Could it be the nonstop begging for ghosts?
And even just be like, let's go smoke there. We did a seance there last week and it fucking some bad shit happened. Let's go smoke. Like, it just be like, I totally forgot about the seance last week where crazy shit happened. Where it's like, that's all I would connect everything to that seance.
Yes.
You know, I would be like, that one seance, that one time.
But that's the thing is,
got me, man.
Is there was more stuff happening than just that seance.
True.
Leon. Nana.
A million things. A million. So I guess, it is just easy to be like,
I don't know what the fuck it was. White Stag.
White Stag, dude. I read this book called The Twisted Ones. It's very fun, and that has a white stag in it.
Ooh.
Which is such, it's so creepy.
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 Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they have forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about, I don't know, like 5 different subscriptions. I could not believe when they showed me how many I was paying for each month. And they tell me when something's coming up too. What a shocker. Between streaming services, fitness apps, and delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I've forgotten about. And, you know, I've been trying to save money. And it seems like my bank account, it was stuck. So I gave Rocket Money a try, and it turns out that I was paying for a bunch of stuff that I didn't need. And Rocket Money helped me cancel some of those. And now I'm finally starting to see my account balance going up again. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of expenses. I can see all my subscriptions in one place, and if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with a few taps. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. That's rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. rocketmoney.com/funnyfeeling. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you, and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for years now. I go every single week. I don't even ever want to miss a week because it's so important for keeping me on track, especially during times where things are kind of tough, you know? It's really good to have a therapist you trust as a sounding board. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/afunnyfeeling today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/afunnyfeeling.
All right, your turn.
I got one. Okay, this one's called My Past Life.
Ooh.
I was always told that I was an old soul, and I have some evidence to prove it. Let me preface by saying I don't remember any of this, don't remember my past lives, and don't remember all the weird shit I would say to my mom about them, but luckily she remembered. So I guess as soon as I started to talk, I would talk about the house I used to live in. I said there were colors everywhere and that it was always hot. I said it had a big staircase on the outside with colorful tiles leading up to my front door. I talked about it all. I talked about it all like I was wondering when I was going to go back. From what I said, my parents decided I used to live in Portugal or Spain.
Ooh.
That's nice.
That sounds cool.
That sounds very nice. Also, whenever my mom was doing something for me, making food, laundry, whatever, I would kind of scoff and say, when I was a mom, I didn't do it like that. Or even, my other mom doesn't do it like that. What the fuck? And then continues on, such a brat, right?
Absolutely. If my mom is,
yes. If my mom is telling me the story and is kind of mad at me, she says, I said my real mom doesn't do it like that. The parents said I always seemed confused, like I didn't belong there with them.
Oh.
What? Just have to say, I love the pod and you too. Also, I work at Universal Studios. And I've seen Betsy there a couple of times, and every time I yell at her. And I've heard some spooky backlot ghost stories that I'll have to write in for you guys to read one of these days. Don't shit your pants, Elise.
Ooh.
Ooh. Hi, Elise. Yeah, hi. Please scream at me. Well, whenever we're allowed to go back.
Do you scream, get the fuck out?
Leave me alone. I love Universal Studios. I got a pass. It's the most fun. Just go and drink beers.
It's so close, too. You can just go, like, just chill out, you know?
I've totally gone with Tony and Drew a couple of times where we don't go on any rides. We just drink beer and, like, watch the shows. And it rules.
I would do that. Can't wait to do that.
Just, like, one afternoon of, like, let's just meet up at Universal.
Yes.
Wow. Elise. Dude. You're totally from Spain and have been a mom and have had other moms. I do like how the parents are kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Portugal or Spain. What? Not just like, shut up. Shut up. No.
Until your mom's like, okay, so you think this life is shitty. Oh, I get it.
I see. Okay.
That's not how I did it when I was a mom. Rude. You're a rude child.
You're rude.
You got a real tude there, Rudy.
Got a real attitude. Da, 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 da. Where's right. that? Yeah, how does that song go?
She's got attitude. A new attitude.
New attitude.
I don't know, man. I'm too young.
Neither one of us know it. Yeah, so we're cool. I'm too into
oh, come on. You got this. You listen to new music. You got this.
Ish. Marshmallow.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a legitimate big Billie Eilish fan.
Oh, right. A mutual friend of ours really let me have it when I said I have not heard a Billie Eilish song. She really, really screamed at me and said, yes, you have. And then started playing songs. And I was like, nope, I've never heard that one. And then she's like, how about this one? Nope, I've never heard that one.
Someone screamed at you for being a loser?
Yeah. What's the deal, man? Somebody screamed at me for being such a loser because I don't know Billie Eilish.
You've never heard The Bad Guy?
No.
I'm the bad guy. Duh. Bam, 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 bam,
bam. What? Duh.
She says duh really loud. And
she
it's
says
funny.
Duh.
I'm
That's
the
pretty
bad
cool.
guy. Duh. Duh.
Duh. Okay, maybe I would be into it.
It's a fun, like, she's. Have you seen her? Do you even know what she looks like?
Yes. Yes.
She's a little slime queen.
I know who, like, I would be, and she wears, like, big chunky shoes, so I'd be like, okay,
She
I
wears,
know.
Like, huge shorts and huge shirts.
Yes, yeah. Yes, yep.
And she has green roots and black hair.
Whoa, cool.
Slime queen.
Slime queen.
I took my niece to, my niece flew in, and we went down to San Diego on the train, and stayed overnight.
So fun.
And we went to see her, and it was really fun. It was really fun. I'm
That's
glad
a cool aunt move, dude.
I really wanted to go, and then I was like, oh, I'm a grown up, and it's gonna be weird. And then I knew my niece liked her, so I was
smart.
Like, she should fly out. It was nice because I never get to see them. So
that's really nice.
But I mean, I was like the age of all the parents there.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah,
of teen yeah. girls, tweens, yeah. a lot of tween girls.
We went to a couple of years ago, Wango Tango.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like a radio station's kind of like big concert where big stars do one song and kind of move on and stuff. And it was me, Mono, Drew, and Drew's sister, Kaitlyn. And and we were absolutely like the old, it was us and parents. And it was just kind of like, okay.
Yeah. I was like, oh boy, there's like 9-year olds here.
Whoa. Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool though.
Hey, yeah. That's fun.
I'm going to like send you a bunch of Billie Eilish.
You don't need to. It's okay.
I want to.
Like, you don't need to. I don't know.
You know, Carolyn Anderson, she sent me like a playlist of BTS.
What's behind the scenes?
No, that Korean pop boy band.
Oh, I've seen. Okay, Mano and I have watched. We watched one of their music videos.
Yeah, I watched them all now. I watched the best of the best because
the
Carolyn,
best of the best. Good.
I feel like a lot of people are going to tell you should get into Billie Eilish. So,
well, so far, you and our friend who yelled at me are the only ones and
who are saying it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's so that's a 50-50 of like a nice recommendation and then a 50 like other 50% being like, then no, I don't give a shit. Don't yell at me about
because they were mean, right?
Yes, that makes me not want to listen even more.
The one thing I'll say, last thing I'll say about why I think she's cool, I think her parents were groundlings. And she like lives in Silver Lake with them still, and like us, or maybe she's moved now because she's very famous, and she just turned 18.
Whoa,
maybe she's almost 19. Young. She'll be 19 soon. And she like lives. It's like her and her brother were making music in his bedroom.
Whoa.
And like they just started doing it young, and her first like huge singles when she was 13,
Wait,
put it on YouTube.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, that's wild. I didn't realize she was so young.
Yeah, she baby.
Whoa.
She's got a big old Mustang.
Hell yeah, dude.
She's a funny little kid. But
that's
she's
a
cool.
Very funny choice. That's such a like dudes going through something in their late 30s choice.
Yep. That's where she's at. All right, I'm gonna play a story.
Yeah. Hi Betsy and Marcy, my name's Holly. I love your podcast so much and I'm big fans of you guys. I wanted to share a kind of personal paranormal experience that I had. I've always been, I guess, kind of sensitive to the paranormal. Ever since I was a little kid, I could sense like when I wasn't alone. And I grew up doing theater, and anytime I went to a theater, there was always just energies. And I have countless stories that I would love to share at a later time about childhood experiences. But the story I'm going to share with you today is actually about the passing of my mother. My mom was sick for a very long time. She had an extremely, extremely rare case of very early onset dementia. She started showing weird symptoms in her 40s and got a very late diagnosis because it just baffled doctors and they couldn't believe someone her age would have dementia. So she got a really late diagnosis, and my mom passed away at the age of 51, 6 months before my wedding, actually. And I live in Los Angeles now, but I was born and raised in the Bay Area. So my mom was in hospice for a while, and I had a phone call from my sister that my mom was not going to be, they weren't expecting her to live longer than 2 weeks. So my sister kind of called me and gave me the heads up of, hey, this is happening soon, and I just want you to be prepared to come home when the time comes. My sister got that phone call, by the way, on her birthday. So that was an awful birthday for her. And I felt so bad. It was only 2 days later, my sister called me again and said, you need to come home. They don't expect mom to live through the night. So my husband and I flew home, and we got to the hospice where she was staying. I was able to visit with her and say my goodbyes to her, which was hard. I hadn't had a conversation with my mom due to her illness in years. So I was kind of used to one-sided conversations with her, but my last one with her was obviously really hard. My sisters and I had been there for a while, and it was really late at night, and she had been kind of stable for a while, so we were like, we're gonna go home. We're going to sleep. The nurses were like, she'll be okay. Come back in the morning. I think my sisters and I had a hard time leaving because I think deep down we knew that there was a big possibility she wasn't going to make it through the night. And we had the hardest time leaving. I just remember the three of us standing in the doorway, just saying, I love you. We love you so much. Literally unable to like leave and walk away. Sure enough, the next morning, while we were all getting ready to go back to see her, my sister got a phone call that my mom had passed. And it's funny because you can't ever be prepared for someone's passing, even if you know it's coming. There's no way to prepare yourself for it. And so I was devastated. At the time of my mom's passing, I was 25 years old. So it's pretty young to lose your mom and to see her die and deteriorate in front of you. And there was a sense of relief that she was free, but also just heartbreak that for the rest of my life, I don't have my mom with me. And that's a hard pill to swallow. So obviously that day in particular was very difficult. And I could sense her. I could sense her around us. I could sense her in my sister's home. We were all in my sister's home for about a week, honestly. And I knew she was there. I could sense it, but I needed more proof for me to feel okay and to kind of start to heal. I needed to know that my mom was still going to be around and still be with me. And so I was crying in the shower, you know, as really depressed people do. I was crying in the shower and I was just asking her, I was like, Mom, like, if you can hear me, please give me a sign, like let a light flicker, knock over a shampoo bottle, like let me know you're here, but don't be scary. And nothing happened. I waited for like 30 seconds and I just kept asking her and nothing happened. And so I got really sad because I was like, what if she's really officially gone? Meanwhile, I can hear my phone going off in the guest room that I was staying at my sister's house. And my phone just kept having text notifications. So I get out of the shower and I go see what's going on my phone. And it was text messages from my husband, who was being really nice and he was taking care of phone calls for me, like calling my work and getting them up to speed since I wasn't even in town and everything like that. So he was in the front yard making phone calls on my behalf. And this butterfly just out of nowhere flew next to him and just stayed on this bush right that he was standing next to. And this butterfly in particular was a monarch, but it had a symbol of like what looks like an eye on its wing, and it just stayed there next to him. It like barely moved. It just chilled there no matter what he was doing. If he got closer to it, it didn't flinch. Like, it just stayed there next to him. And so he sent me a picture of that butterfly. And I just broke down because I was like, that's the message. That's the message I was asking for. My mom did send me a message that she is around and that she's with us. And all day and all week, these caterpillars just started appearing on the same bush. And my sister has lived in this house for years. And she's like, I've never seen this before. There's just all of these caterpillars. And then they just started turning into butterflies. And so whenever we got really sad, we would just walk into the front yard and just kind of sit down by the specific bush and just look at the butterflies that were surrounding us. And at one point there were four butterflies, especially flying all over the house. And I'm one of four siblings. So we think each butterfly was representative of her children. And even now, if I'm going through a particularly hard time, which I do, every now and then a monarch will kind of make its appearance known. And I just say out loud, like, thanks, Mom, I love you. So that's one of my sweeter paranormal stories. I have some scary ones that I'd also love to share with you guys. But I think this one's kind of long enough, so I'll make those a separate story. thank you guys so much for your podcast and for the joy and the spooks that you give me all the time. You're my favorite spooky ladies. Thanks for listening. Love you guys. Bye.
Aww. Wow.
So sorry. That's such a terrible, terrible way to lose someone.
That is so sad.
Yeah. But I love that getting that message and like having a place where you like can go back to feel like this is a place where you can connect to your mom.
Right. So special. That's so nice to be able to find that.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that Monarch was fucking cool looking too.
I know. I'm looking at it right now. That I've never seen a butterfly like that.
It has like a true eyeball.
True eyeball. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And also send us more. Send us your scary ones too. That was very sweet.
It was so sweet. Betsy. That is what? Oh,
sorry, no hide.
Oh, what were you gonna say?
Nothing. Go talk.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Well, it was just I was like, that is so nice to like be able to have a sign or what's the word I'm looking for? I feel we've heard about it of
like a
symbol.
Symbol. Yeah.
Yeah, something like that. That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice to have.
I don't know what it means, but once a turtle was on my door at Christmas Day.
Dude, that's a fucking Disney movie, man. I don't know.
It was in Louisiana, so it doesn't seem as weird.
That's not as weird, I guess, because you got swamps.
But I was like, we're in the middle of a neighborhood. I don't know where this turtle came
from. Oh, what'd you do with it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
What am I
you
supposed to do?
Hit it away with a hockey stick and it slides around like a puck.
I made a hare race it so it would go away.
But hey, you did learn a lesson, right?
Yeah. Gotta get rid of turtles. They have salmonella.
Ew, do they?
I think turtles have salmonella. Yeah, you can't be touching
them. I had
them.
One when I was a kid and it stunk awful. It was really gross.
It couldn't help it.
I know.
Wait, how long did it live? Because those things can live like 40 years, dude.
It
didn't make it.
It didn't make it. So.
Uh-oh. Is this going to be bad?
Yeah. We thought it was dead.
Uh-huh.
So we buried it. And then like a year or two later, we learned that turtle hibernates.
But again, we just learned hibernation does not mean asleep for 4 months.
But this thing was asleep for us to be like, that thing is dead, dude.
How long was it asleep?
I don't know. I was in like second grade. But because enough for us to be like, this is weird.
But I like
this
again,
thing is dead.
I think it might have just been dead. I don't think you buried it alive.
Okay, good. Thank you. I've been living with that.
No, because like again, we just learned hibernation just means they sleep more, not fully asleep for like a month.
I know, but
you gotta let go. It's not your fault. It's not your fault.
No, what if I killed Michelangelo, Jordan? I can't remember Roger Rabbit. I can't remember. I remember just naming the turtle like 5 different things I liked at the time. Michelangelo for sure, but I think it was like Michelangelo, Roger Rabbit, probably like Lucille Ball.
Lucille Ball's a good name.
Wow. Oh.
Should I read one?
Yeah.
All right. This one says, get spooky, too spooky for you.
I like the sound of this.
Howdy-do, Marcy and Betsy. I'm a fairly new listener to the podcast, but I'm going through episodes like crazy thanks to my hour-long commute to and from work.
Woo!
That's a long commute.
Yeah, man.
I thought you lot might appreciate a good few of my own paranormal stories.
Yes!
Where are you from? Calling us a lot?
A lot.
The much of the reality... Nope, that's not how we're talking, Marcy. The much of the really weird stuff I've seen comes from my childhood. I just like my brain, Betsy. Dude. It just does what it... Today, TikTok taught me that I think I have a certain hearing disorder.
TikTok taught you that?
Yeah, it's... I forget what it's called already because my brain doesn't work, but it's because it also comes along with ADD. But it's like you can't hear stuff when there's background noises. And I think that's why I hate bars.
Because
I truly cannot communicate. And sometimes when you ask people to repeat stuff, they get like offended.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start being like, no, you're offending me because I have a hearing. I should go get it tested for it. Anyway, it's not the point of this. That's not why I can't read. I can't read, and that's a separate issue.
That's a whole different thing, dude.
It's a whole different thing. Hardly functioning human at this point. Okay. Okay. Childhood. Right. One could blame an overactive imagination and a noted fondness for the creepiest of horror films, but I seem to recall a number of experiences, at least tangentially, related to the supernatural. For a little scene setting of my childhood mindset, I used to believe two different incarnations of death resided on our property.
Oh my God.
One in the basement and resembled a more traditional robe skeleton with a Sith. One that lived in the woods outside our house and was cobbled together from the bones of animals and pieces of rotting wood.
All
robed in patches of rotting hide and moss.
Dude, that's okay. This is wild. That's also very much like the book, The Twisted Ones.
Okay, well, this says...
This is nutty, man.
It says... Do not steal that, Betsy. Middle name goes here, Sidaro. I will haunt the shit out of you.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, I won't steal it.
It's already, someone already stole it in a book.
Somebody already wrote about it.
I also thought witches lived in my ceiling fan and zombie iterations of Presidents Washington and Lincoln hid in my walls and waited for a perfect moment to consume my brains. Like I said, I was predisposed to spooky shit, but now story time.
Yes.
So all that was just imagined.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember as a child playing in our long gravel driveway near our parents' car with my older siblings. While we played, I'd periodically catch in the car's mirror a figure at the bottom of our driveway that wasn't visible when directly observed. I remember the being's face seemed obscured, like the face was covered in leaves.
Yuck, dude.
One time when my siblings had gone away to school, I was in the driveway playing by myself, and I would check in the mirrors to see if the figure was there. It was. But as I played in the driveway, I remember looking in the mirror, and at one point, every time I looked, he crept closer, about 6 inches to a foot each time.
Ew!
When it was about halfway up the driveway, I remember freaking out and fleeing into the house, and I refused to come out for the rest of the day. That is
horrific. I'm stealing that for sure.
Steal it.
I'm writing it in the movie right now.
I'll burn this email as soon as I read it.
Thank you. Yes, please burn the email.
More recently, I was home alone as my wife and children had left town for a night. So I had the home to myself. I was walking the dog around 12:30 at night in our yard, and I was getting a, wait for it, funny feeling.
Hey yo, titty line.
That I was being watched. Please put maximum ham on that delivery. Looking at you, Marcy. Okay. I'm gonna say it again.
Yes.
I was walking the dog around 12:30 at night in our yard, and I was getting a, wait for it, funny feeling that I was being watched.
Whoa, that was good. There we go. That was good, Marcy.
Feeling proud. I think the woods around where I live had some seriously bad juju bullshit going on out there. So I'm kind of paranoid about the woods at night. I was getting maximum skeeved out, so I did the thing where you tell any presence around you that they're not welcomed, and for extra vim, I brought God into the equation. I think that was an oopsie poopsie. Uh-oh. As soon as I completed my holy castigation on this calm, windless night, but the wind picks up, but the wind picks up abruptly. Then the wind begins to howl a low, hollow noise.
Oh,
maybe it was the sleep deprivation, but I think it sounded angry. Obviously, I survived the night, but this is not where the story ends.
Oh,
last week I was doing some yard work when on the edge of our property, right where the tree line of the woods begins behind our house. Right where the tree line of the woods behind our house begins. That makes more sense.
Yep.
I found one of my son's teddy bears torn limb from limb with its stuffing scattered as if by an animal.
What?
I've asked my wife and son if they brought the toy outside, and they both swear they didn't bring out any stuffed animals. Cuddle toys are inside toys, my son insists every time I ask him about it. So that's a thing. Are these events connected, or is it, as they say, thermodynamic miracle?
Whoa.
I really pulled that off.
You nailed it. Not even a stutter. Like, you nailed it. Say it again.
A thermodynamic miracle.
Ooh, Marcy. Hell yes. Hell yes.
I'll keep you cool cats posted as shit develops further. And I'll send a picture of my dog Midnight. Oh, please do.
Yes.
He's a labradoodle and such a handsome boy.
Oh, I love labradoodles. I love doodles. Any doodle.
Labras. That's all I got for now. But I don't think this is the last you'll have heard from me. Love the show, Russ.
Russ. Oh. Wow. Something is afoot in those woods, dude.
Something's afoot. A fruit by the foot.
Something's afoot. Oh, yum.
That
whoa.
Figure in the driveway.
That is so damn scary. And just getting closer and closer and closer. Ew. Nasty.
Totally nasty.
So spooky.
And
so
then,
spooky.
I love that you think throwing the name of God out in it made the wind like be like, oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're using the God card. Well, we're using the wind card.
And then it just got mad and tore up a teddy bear.
Yeah, that'll show him. Quick.
Call that'll, God on me. I'll show
God will
you.
Ruin your cuddle buddies.
Cuddle buddies.
Cuddle buddies. Whoa.
That was creepy.
That was so creepy. I'm stealing it all.
Steal it.
Okay, I got one.
All right.
It goes, a spirit demon, in parentheses, tried to kill my baby.
Oh, shoot.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Oh, my God.
New guy's out in the back just puking his guts out. I just watched Beverly Hills Ninja yesterday for, like, not the first time by any means, but just rewatched it first time in a while. And, like, that Benihana scene is...
I watched
him trying to do Benihana. Very funny.
Chris Farley was just a whole other level of comedy.
Dude, seriously.
Just a whole other level.
So fucking funny.
It's so likable.
Yes. Yes.
If any younger people are listening and haven't really, don't really know who Chris Farley is, you should go down a rabbit hole.
Go down a rabbit hole. It's a fun
one.
End
up in a van down by the river. Guys, lay off me, I'm starving.
You're going on a diet.
Oh God, these are good. I love it. Okay.
All right. Hi, Marcy and Betsy. I stumbled on your podcast while I was pandemic painting my living room walls a few weeks ago, and I'm loving it. Thank Ooh. You. I have a pretty scary story from about 10 years ago that still freaks me out when I think about it. So here goes. I moved out of my parents' house when I was pretty young as a single mom, and my infant daughter and I lived in an apartment complex in South Central Pennsylvania area. We have a rich Native American and Civil War history here in the area, which could be related, but who knows? When I first moved in, I slept in my bedroom, but was increasingly bothered by a feeling that someone was watching me. Ew! At first, I let it go, but the feeling became more sinister, and I got scared. For some reason, something was telling me that it was an old man that was angry.
Ew.
Oh, although I never saw a figure or apparition of any kind. Eventually, I began sleeping on the couch in the living room because the ominous feeling wasn't in that room, but seemed to begin about halfway down the hallway leading to my bedroom. Wow. My daughter had always slept peacefully and all night long, thank God, in her room, which was toward the beginning of the hallway. That is very nice.
I mean, sometimes when you already have a tough enough time, the babies will bless you.
Yes.
And then sometimes they'll make your life hell, I guess.
I didn't tell anyone what was going on because I figured no one would believe a naive 18-year-old who was probably just scared to live by herself.
Of course. So much responsibility.
Ooh. One day, after I had been sleeping on the couch for a few weeks, a friend from work came over and said, "You don't sleep in your bedroom, do you?" I asked him why, and he said, "'Cause, honey, you ain't the only one in there."
Oh, honey, no. 'Cause, honey, somebody else is in that bedroom.
Obviously, this freaked me the fuck out, and I told him about everything that had been going on. He told me I needed to move, but a ghost in my bedroom isn't a reason to break a lease, so I stayed.
That coworker was useless. A saboteur of sanity.
A few weeks later, I was in the living room watching TV, and my daughter, probably around 8 to 9 months at the time, woke up and began screaming. I went in to check on her, and she was curled up in the farthest corner of her crib, covering her face, screaming, and wouldn't look at me or crawl over to me.
Oh, my God.
Dear God, that's scary. I immediately felt the presence in her room, and it/he was dark as fuck. I picked up my daughter and sat down in her rocking chair in the corner, and I told her everything was okay. Oh, wait. Shit, sorry. My computer.
What happened?
Nothing.
It went to sleep.
I went to close a thing that kept popping up, like a calendar thing, and then I hit the wrong thing, and email disappeared.
Oh boy.
Okay. Oh yes, I told her everything was okay. I yelled at whatever it was to get out of my house. This only angered her. And as I sat in the chair with my daughter's arms wrapped around my neck, it felt like whatever it was circling us repeatedly, going faster and faster. Oh, God. Oh, it got really hard to breathe, and I was crying and screaming because I was so scared, which only made it worse for my daughter, who was also crying and screaming. I finally got up and ran out into the living room with my daughter, and I called my mom, who is extremely religious. She told me that I needed to say that I am backed by the power of Jesus or something. I don't fucking know. Except she said I had to believe for it to work. Obviously, that did nothing, so I just grabbed my keys and left for the night. I stayed with my parents that night and went back in the morning to check out the apartment. When I left my daughter's room the night before, I closed the door because that will stop a spirit from following you, I guess. And I would always close her bedroom door every night after, putting her down on a normal night as well.
When I went into my bedroom, my daughter's room the next morning, the first thing that hit me was the intense heat coming out of her room.
What?
Oh my God. My glasses fogged up and I couldn't breathe because it was so hot. The wooden closet doors were literally sweating due to the heat.
Yeah.
The heater had been on because it was fall/winter time and was set to around 70 degrees. I didn't have a way to check the temperature because the wall thing said it was 70 degrees, but it had to have been over 120 degrees at least. I've never felt any place that hot. I immediately began to cry because had my daughter not woken up, she would have died sweltering in that heat, stuck in her crib, and I wouldn't have known.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. I opened the windows to cool the room down, and then I called the maintenance crew to check out the heater. They said there was nothing wrong with it and did not replace or repair anything.
Perfect. I love landlords. Awesome. They're great.
So nice.
It's not like a really fucked up system where you end up paying hundreds of thousands of dollars for a thing you never get back in return. Awesome. I love it.
Awesome. So cool. So cool. I refused to stay in the apartment another night and stayed with my parents until I could find another place. I did tell the rental office about the experience, and I don't think they believed me, but whatever is in that place does not want someone living there. Another short.
Wait,
heater
was broken then, right?
Well, that's what, like.
Or was it the hellspawn?
I think it was hellspawn, but they were probably like trying to do anything. Like, something's wrong with the heat. Something's wrong with this place. And they're like, yeah, right.
Yeah, you know? I was trying to decide, like, was it like a warning to get out so it saved you? Or was it like, we're going to boil your baby?
It felt like boil the baby to me. But I'm also more on the, this is so scary. And you like to look at the good in it a little bit harder.
Look, there are
two
kinds of people in the world. There are dog people and cat people. And cat people we're really optimistic that maybe it's not as bad as it seems.
Because you just keep getting attacked by your cat. I think it's devil spawn, whatever.
Okay. I just, that's why I asked someone to be because
what a wild way to warn someone is to almost cook their baby.
No. I don't. She didn't say it was hot when she went in originally. She said her baby was screaming and scared.
This was.
So in the morning, then she was like, oh, it's really hot. So maybe it was like, I'll scare a baby to make them leave. And or it could have been like all that energy made, like it's a chicken or the egg.
Once again, chicken or the egg, which came first?
Probably the egg.
Chicken.
How is the chicken?
No, it's gotta be the chicken.
How is it born?
From a fucking like bacteria thing.
You know what? It was a dinosaur. So this is a stupid hypothetical.
It was a damn dinosaur. Okay. Another short, I promise, story involving the same daughter. When my daughter was around 3 or 4 years old, we were touring another apartment to move into, and there was a Harry Potter-like empty kitchen pantry that opened up under the stairs.
Ooh.
The stairs were filled in, so it was like a slanted roof rather than being able to see each individual stair. Yes. I really liked the apartment and planned to apply for it, but after leaving, my daughter asked me, oh my God, who the boy under the stairs was. Because she was so little and had never seen an under the stairs place, especially with it being filled in, this creeped me out even more because she couldn't have been joking. She wouldn't know they were stairs. I asked her how she knew those were stairs above, and she said, the boy told me.
Ooh, no.
Sick. I didn't rent that place. And when my now husband and I bought our first house last year, she was always along to give feedback. That's pretty. You should start a business. Hire your kid to go in and be like, hey, there's a little girl up in the attic. Oh, there's a mean old man in the basement. Yep.
Yeah, yeah, and so someone watches you in the shower. Bye. Yeah.
Okay, so if you want to get it, that's fine. But also, there's no laundry, so I don't think it's worth paying that much.
This kid has all the real estate advice.
Also, so sorry, there's just so much good stuff happening around here. It's great. My ex used to live in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, obviously full of history and ghosts, and he would bike to work at a restaurant and then bike home through the battlefields after dark. Ugh. He said on multiple occasions he saw fires and heard men talking, but when he would approach them, nothing would be there.
Why would he
Spooky.
Approach?
If you're ever in the area, we have some fun ghost tours. If you read all of this, bless you. Keep up the good work. Penny. Sorry. Signed Penny. And then you can use my name. That evil ghost could have Googled me by now. Whoa, Penny.
Oh, man. This makes me think that your baby was sort of like the things that set off the spooky stuff. Like that they were like, oh,
maybe.
This child is sensitive.
This kid can see us, so.
We got a boiler.
We got a boiler. Wow.
Oh.
Holy shit, dude.
Man. Little boy under the stairs.
That is so, I'm so glad my nieces haven't said any creepy shit like that. I don't know what I would do if they were like, hey.
Disown them. You would disown them.
Yeah, I would disown them. I would disown them as their aunt.
Yeah. You're out of the fam.
You're done. You're out. Get out of here.
You're donezo, wow. Kitties.
Kitties, you're donezo.
Oh, man.
You're donezo.
These were spooky.
These were so good and spooky.
And sweet and sad.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I felt every emotion.
Yes.
Except for anger.
I didn't feel angry. But you kind of got a little upset with me about the Billie Eilish stuff.
Oh, then yes, I felt anger.
There was some residual.
Leave me alone!
Resentment.
I don't like teen girls. Just leave me alone, okay? I want to listen to the music I want to listen to.
Ah, Marshmallow.
DJ Marshmallow. Come on. Come on.
Oh, man. These are great, guys. Sending them.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
We
so
love
much.
It. It's the most fun.
Yeah, tell your friends.
Yes.
Tell your friends who like to get a little spooky.
It's
this
spooky
thing
with
exists.
Your loved ones.
Yeah, and keep sending them in. They're the best.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ho-da-dee-to-to-to. Oh, yeah! Thank you so much for listening to A Funny Feeling.
If you have a paranormal experience that you would like to share, please send us a voice memo, or you can email us just a letter at funnyfeelingpod@gmail.com. I'm Marcy.
I'm Betsy. And don't shit your pants!
That was a HeadGum Podcast.